Welcome to episode 46 of Practical Defense, Pepper Spray. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I am your host, Alex Addix. This week, our topic of discussion is pepper spray as a defensive weapon. But first, we'll have our weekly tip from Kristen at kristensguide.com. Create a small card with emergency information, such as third-party contact information, emergency phone numbers, and emergency meetup locations for every member in your family. They can keep the card in their wallet, so they'll always have access to this information, even if their mobile phone or PDA doesn't work. Kristen's Guide will be offering free printable emergency card templates. Also, before we get into our main topic, I wanted to update everyone on a recent project I was invited to participate in. Last week, I spent 3 days with Jim Wagner and a bunch of other reality-based instructors from all over the United States, Canada, and Europe. We were filming 3 new instructional DVDs for Black Belt Magazine. The tentative titles for the DVDs are How to Beat Various Fighters, The Most Important Self-Defense Lesson of Your Life, and Conflict Conditioning. Now, of course, Jim was the star and host of these, but I was one of the instructors demonstrating the techniques throughout all 3 DVDs. Filming was a blast. Everyone got along immediately, and we had a fantastic time. Jim has an interesting style when filming self-defense videos. He explains the technique, and then you do it. Once. Right or wrong, success or fail, that is the take. There's no practice and almost no setup, and you only get 1 try. He likes doing it that way because it keeps it realistic. We move at full speed and half power, and what happens, happens. If you can't work the technique under those conditions, it isn't valid, and he proves it in these demos. When we took our turns as the attacker, we were expected to resist the technique for real. In one of the gun disarm techniques, I managed to get the gun away from the guy playing the villain, but I dropped it on the gun escape. And that's the one that's on the DVD. Another demonstration, I was the robber with the gun, and the defender failed to disarm me. Jim came on afterwards and said that the defender got shot on the attempt, and that's the way life works. That one's also on the DVD. What I love about the reality-based system is that the approach is truly real-world. We don't expect to see our techniques developed in a studio work on the street just how we practice them in a sanitized environment around friends. The real world is dirty, and attacks are brutal, and there are thousands of variables that influence every strike. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's life, and that's reality. In American Kenpo, we have a similar approach. Every technique at every belt rank is modular. Now, of course, you don't realize this when you're just starting out at the lowest levels. Grandmaster Parker grew up on the wrong side of the pineapple fields of Hawaii, and I'm not kidding, we're trying to be cute here. He was a street brawler before he trained in judo and Chinese Kenpo. He grew up fighting for real and knew that what you train for isn't necessarily what happens in the real world. When he designed American Kenpo, he took that into consideration. The result is that all of our techniques can be grafted together into a single stream of defensive attacks. You can start out using one technique to defend against an attack, but you finish the sequence with an entirely different technique, and that's perfectly acceptable. Some people argue that means the techniques aren't pure, but in the words of Grandmaster Parker, when you're on the street and pure knuckles meet pure flesh, I don't give a damn who you are. You can't get any purer than that. When you're fighting for your life, the 2 most important things you need to do are move, you just don't want to stand there like a target dummy and take it on the chin, and just do something. Block, strike, or draw a weapon, or run away. Anything is better than nothing. And both reality-based and American Kenpo teach those fundamentals really well. And that's why I'm drawn to them. And that's why I teach both of them. All right, enough philosophy. Let's move back to the DVDs. It'll take a couple of months to do all the editing, printing, and duplication. The producer at Black Belt said he would drop me an email when they became available, and I'll be certain to pass that information along to everyone on the podcast. You'll be able to purchase copies from the Black Belt Magazine website and Jim Wagner's website in about a couple of months. Also, I want to remind everyone about my column on the Taekwondo Times Magazine website. It's free to read, so you don't need a subscription to the magazine to access it. My second article will go online sometime in the next day or so, and I'd really appreciate you stopping by, checking out the article, and bumping up my numbers a bit. We'll be right back with our discussion of pepper spray as a defensive weapon. Our main topic this week is pepper spray. Now, right here from the top, I want to make a few things clear. First, pepper spray is a weapon. It may be a less than lethal weapon, but it is a weapon, and if it's misused, you can and probably will be charged with a weapons assault. If you pull it out and use it on someone, the police are going to investigate the incident in the same way as if you pulled a knife or a gun. This is not a plaything. It's a serious weapon, and it can kill. And I'll go into more specifics on that later. Also, as with any weapon, be it knife, gun, Coubadon, pepper spray, or taser, do not carry it until you have completed professional training. This podcast does not count as training. This is merely an introduction and an overview of the defensive weapon. And another thing is, do not change your security habits if you decide to carry pepper spray as a defensive weapon. And that goes again for any weapon. Just because you now have protection, that doesn't make it okay to walk down alleys and walk alone into darkened parking lots or leave your windows open at night. You should always use good judgment, awareness, and avoidance techniques regardless if you carry a weapon. The weapon is there for only those dire circumstances where you messed up or when the incident just couldn't be avoided. Thinking, I'll be okay if I walk into a biker bar wearing a gay pride t-shirt because I'm carrying pepper spray, will result in you getting your teeth kicked in. Carrying pepper spray, or even a gun for that matter, does not make you invulnerable. So use common sense. Let's start with a look at what pepper spray is. Now, back in the 1960s, Lake Erie Chemical developed a tear gas called Chemical Mace. Interestingly, Lake Erie Chemical was also a subdivision of Smith & Wesson. Now, in the 1980s, we saw a huge, popular emergence of the personal defense aerosol spray version of Chemical Mace. Now, this was a small aerosol that could be used and sprayed at close range for personal protection. Today, the most popular type of self-defense spray is commonly referred to as pepper spray or OC spray. Now, both terms refer to the same thing, which is the main component of the spray, and please forgive me if I butcher this, oleoresin capsicum. This is why most people just call it OC. OC is the chemical that is extracted and refined from hot red peppers, such as cayenne or habanero. The heat rating of the OC is measured in Scoville heat units, and this is an industry standard unit of measure on how hot food tastes. Many sprays you see these days on shelves are a blend of OC and either CN, CS, or CX gases. Now these C gases, the CNs, the CS, and CXs, are actually types of tear gas. These blends often also include dyes in either a bright color or UV, which can only be seen with a black light. The dye is included as a means of criminal identification, so that if you spray somebody and they run away, the cops can come back and look for the dye. But the other aspect is that it could also be used to identify the person using the spray, since it will undoubtedly blow back onto the arms and hands of the person holding the canister. The tear gas types of ingredients cause pain, while the pepper spray causes irritation and pain. The tear gases also have some really nasty side effects and can cause health problems. And some of them are really toxic. So regardless, you want to keep this stuff away from children, pregnant women, and nursing mothers. The potency of the tear gases degrades with time, meaning that the longer it sits on the shelf, the less effective it'll be. And the OC supposedly does not degrade with time. There are also several different types of containers and nozzles for the spray. Some are as large as fire extinguishers used to disperse large crowds, and others are small enough to attach to a keyring. Sometimes they're even called lipstick bottles. Now, the nozzles to disperse the spray are either a mist or fogger, a heavy stream, a cone, or some sort of foam. Now, each of these has their application, and you decide upon the nozzle at the time of purchase. The stream type is generally not selectable on the device, so the one that you buy is the one that you get. Now, with the mist or fogger, this is really good for multiple attackers, but there's a significant risk of blowback. The heavy stream gives the best range, but it takes some accuracy to use. It's sort of like using a squirt gun or a small hose. The cone is really good at hitting a single target at close range or multiple attackers at medium range, but again, there's a risk of blowback. The foam gives some really good accuracy with a small risk of blowback. It also covers the eyes in a foam mask or blind, and this is good for medium or close range. And the sprays come in a water base or an oil base, and I really don't have an opinion on which is better on those. One of the big things I want to cover about pepper spray are the misconceptions. And the first and biggest misconception is that pepper spray is a guaranteed drop. This isn't true. 5% of the people are immune to the effects of pepper spray. I fall into this category. In fact, there's a video of me getting pepper sprayed in the face by Jim Wagner in one of our training sessions in this podcast feed, and I also posted it to YouTube. It went in the podcast feed January 20th of 2008. You'll see that I take two full doses right in the face, and then I track and hit a moving target for over 30 seconds before they lead me to the sink to rinse my eyes out. What I felt was a burning sensation, like I'd held a super hot pepper and onion and then rubbed my eyes. It burned like hell, and I couldn't open my eyes, but I had no trouble breathing, and I was thinking at full capacity. I could track and feel and think and maneuver with no trouble at all. Also, people who are hopped up on drugs or alcohol may not feel some or all of the effects. For example, if you hopped up on PCP and feel no pain, a pain-inducing spray won't have any effect. For another percentage of people, and I don't have any good numbers on this, pepper spray actually throws them into a rage. Now, this rage can actually make things worse if your goal is to subdue the attacker or if he already has a good grip on you. The spray, for the most part, though, will incapacitate people, and this group is the largest percentage of the population. They'll drop what they're doing, grab their eyes, and curl up in pain. So the takeaway is that pepper spray is not 100% effective. The attacker can be immune, it can throw the person into a rage, escalating the confrontation to make it more dangerous, or it can drop them. You'll never know until it actually hits them. And here's another issue with pepper spray. You can build a resistance to it. Just like getting used to spicy foods, you can build a tolerance to OC. And there are many reports that corrections officers have built a tolerance from being exposed to it from frequent use in confined jail cells and prison cells. And gangbangers actually train with it. They spray each other in the face to build a resistance. Also, if it does affect the attacker, the results may not be immediate. And here's an example of how a police officer lost his life because of his overtrust in pepper spray. I watched this video a few years back on the internet. A friend of mine sent me the link as an anti-gun statement. After watching it, I interpreted it very differently. And the video was from the officer's in-car recorder. An officer in a small town in the Midwest was chasing down a suspect. It was a high-speed chase, and the officer finally ran him off the road. The officer jumped out of his cruiser and ran up to the car and poured pepper spray into the crack in the window. He then turned his back and walked away, thinking his job of subdual was complete. But the driver pulled a gun and shot the officer in the back and killed him. Then the driver put his car in gear and drove over the body of the officer and up for a few yards before he finally succumbed to the spray and stopped. A civilian witness ran over to the fallen officer, drew the officer's sidearm, and then shot the driver. That's a truly tragic incident, and it could have been avoided. The officer was overconfident in the effects of the spray and turned his back on the suspect, which proved to be the fatal error. The spray eventually did work on the driver, but it took a while. In Los Angeles, I doubt officers would have bothered with the pepper spray. They probably would have just gone straight to their sidearms after a high-speed chase. Getting hit with pepper spray is supposed to burn your eyes, forcing them shut, cause extreme pain, burn the face, cause excessive amounts of mucus generation in the nose and throat, and cause swelling in the throat, making it difficult to breathe. So in essence, you can't see, your face feels like it's on fire, and you have trouble breathing. If it works, it's kind of hard to fight through that. Also, many people report a feeling that they're going to die, which can induce panic. Defensive spray is in the category of less than lethal defensive weapons. And the reason is, it can and has killed people. If you have an allergic reaction to it or you have a respiratory illness, it can shut down your breathing and the recipient might suffocate. Some of the tear gases that are mixed in with the OC can be really bad. They can cause birth defects if the woman's pregnant or even miscarriages. So if you're pregnant or nursing, don't get near the stuff. And of course, also, you always want to keep the stuff away from small children. Some people like to keep bear spray as their personal defense weapon. Let me be very clear about this. Do not use bear spray on humans. Bear spray can kill humans. The concentrations of the OC in bear spray are out of bounds for human tolerance. Now, these sprays come in canisters that look like small fire extinguishers, like what you'd keep in your car. They shoot well over 20 feet, which is, you know, over 7 meters, and they have super high concentrations of OC. So only use the appropriate type of defensive spray against the critter, be it man or bear, that you're going to be defending against. Should you choose to carry and use pepper spray, you need to be very aware of your environment. If you're spraying an attacker in an enclosed space, like an elevator or from within your car, you're going to get nearly the same dose as the target. You can unintentionally take yourself out at the same time. Also, the wind can have an effect. It can either blow it away from the target or even blow it right into your own face. In a struggle, there's a good chance you will dose yourself with pepper spray. This is why most pepper spray training includes the student taking a hit with it. You know, this conditions you somewhat to the effects so that it won't be as shocking to you if you do get some blowback. Also, it's been shown to reduce the number of frivolous uses of the spray, even by police. If you know how painful it is, you're generally less likely to inflict that pain on another person unless the situation really calls for it. Now, many companies offer training versions of the pepper spray. Now, these are the same bottles, but they're filled with inert materials. You get the same feel, the same spray, but it's harmless as water. This way, you can safely practice in an enclosed environment. And trust me, you want to get your aim down. The last thing you want to do is get the bottle backwards and you spray yourself in the face instead of the attacker. And, you know, deployment is not as easy as you might think. If you carry the spray for a defense, it needs to be out and ready or in a quick draw holster. When you need it now. There's a good demo of this on one of the Black Belt DVDs we just filmed. Meetra had her hand in her purse, wound the bottle, ready to go. Mike was the aggressor, and when it escalated, she pulled her hand from her purse and gave him a full face of spray. Now, we used real OC spray on the video, and Mike was not told beforehand what the scenario was, so his reaction was 100% authentic. The thing is, Mike's like me, and he's immune to pepper spray, so his reaction wasn't what Jim had hoped for on the video. It stopped his immediate aggression, but he was far from incapacitated. Meetra thought it was an inert bottle and not the real thing. And fortunately, also, Mike was a really good sport about it. The spray cleared the room for about 45 minutes. We actually had to take lunch and waited for the air to clear. Only a couple of us were able to stay inside with the spray lingering in the air. I think that's on the most important self-defense lesson of your life DVD. The last thing is that pepper spray is currently legal in all 50 states for anyone 18 or older. However, there are some local and as in city and county regulations regarding the sprays. So check your local laws and regulations on what's legal for you to use and carry. There are many, many things you need to consider when keeping and using pepper spray as a defensive weapon. And here's a summary of some of those items that we covered in this episode. Pepper spray is a weapon, and it will be treated as such by the police. Get professional training in the use of pepper spray before you carry it. You always want professional training in any weapon you intend to carry and use in self-defense. Pepper spray is no different. Do not change your basic security protocols just because you carry pepper spray. Awareness and avoidance are always your primary defensive measures. Physical weapons are a last-ditch effort only. Pepper sprays can be pure OC, or they can contain various tear gases and even dyes. Evaluate the different types of nozzles for the pros and cons before you make your purchase. These nozzles are not adjustable. What comes with the bottle is what you get. Pepper spray is not 100% effective. Some people are immune, others will become enraged, but the bulk will be incapacitated. Do not use bear spray on humans. It can kill people. If you choose to carry spray, it needs to be available for quick deployment. It's a close-quarters defensive weapon and you won't have much time to act, so keep it at the ready. Practice with inert bottles. Get the deployment and aiming down. And again, this goes for any defensive weapon you decide to carry. Practice, and practice like it's real. Although pepper spray is legal in all 50 states for anyone 18 or over, you still need to check your local laws and regulations for the fine details. They can be very different from county to county and city to city. All right, that does it for this episode of Practical Defense. And don't forget to check out my monthly column on taekwondotimes.com. It's called Raising Awareness, and the latest edition should be up in a day or two. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.